I'm going to help you understand a little bit about what's going to transpire for the next 1,000 years. We really think in terms of where we are right now, but what God's bringing in will last 1,000 years. It's not going to stop. There are going to be a lot of different operations, but it's going to continue for 1,000 years. We're on the precipice of that right now. There's a lot going to happen before the 1,000-year millennial reign for sure. And I'm going to share some of those things to give you a little bit of understanding about who you are in the coming shakings and where you are in the coming shakings, because you don't have too much to be concerned about if you're on the right side of things. If you're on the wrong side of things, which you probably wouldn't be coming to this church, you have to understand that in the last days, God's bringing in another dispensation. You can call it the latter rain. I call it a dispensation of the crown. And it's coming faster than any one of us. We're in a season now that it will arrive into the earth. We're in direct season, direct touchdown. Amen. And it's going to be incredible. So we've been in a little bit of this in Haggai chapter 2, understanding prophecy. You must understand, I say this a lot, but all the prophecies of the children of Israel that came out of Babylonian captivity with Haggai and Zechariah and a lot of Isaiah prophecies, none of those were fulfilled. They weren't speaking of their day. In fact, he called the king Zerubbabel and gave him a word that wasn't even fulfilled in his day. That must have been very hard for him, because he probably had no idea what the Lord was saying with two olive trees and all of this, and it was given to him and by Zechariah, and none of that was fulfilled. So he probably went to his grave thinking, what was all that about? You could imagine what Zechariah felt like, because he was given prophecies that weren't being fulfilled, even in his generation, that were coming 2,500 years later. But they are for our day. And so they're all now rejoicing to see that their prophecies are going to get fulfilled in our day. And it's a pretty amazing hour we're living in. Haggai speaks of this shaking. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth. Now, we got a long way to go today, but it's going to be beautiful. Amen. We're going to say some things that are going to blow you away today. I think I can say that with a certainty that this message will probably blow you out today. Amen. Not because it's me, because I'm not this smart, but God's pretty smart. Amen. If you hang out with him, you'll become pretty intelligent in the spirit. Amen. As he said, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Heavens, earth, sea, and dry land. I'll shake all nations, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house, and I will fill this house with glory. I'll fill it with glory. And then he says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He foresaw a day the earth would move off the economy that he had set into the earth. He also foresaw a day he was going to put it back on his economy. Amen. And he said the glory of the Latter-day House would be greater than the former. So in the Latter-day House, you're going to see, that was speaking of Solomon's house, all that Solomon had, this will be a greater. The worship, the arts, the poetry, the wisdom, all of it's coming because he's opened the house of David again, the house of Solomon. He's opened the glory of this house, but he's opened it in a perfected sense because Christ took that throne up into the earth. Up into heaven, and God perfected it there. And he's bringing a perfected wisdom, a perfected dominion down, a perfected glory. It'll be a perfected worship. Everything's going to operate in a perfected type of glory in the last days. This is coming out from the right hand of God, the throne, Christ sitting on the throne of David. He's bringing that out in the form of a crown. And that crown's going to rest upon God's people in the earth. Powerful. It's going to have glory. It's going to have a massive wealth transference. I was listening to a guy last night. Anna sent me a video, and I was amazed. I don't know if any of you heard this guy, Johnny Enlow. Wow. Man, he was with Elijah List, and he's liking what I'm preaching on Babylon. He was preaching on Nineveh, but it was all there, and he was laying out things and seeing a lot of things. So he lays some amazing things out. It's awesome he can see some of these things that are coming out. A lot of prophets are seeing in part right now. And they're not seeing everything that's coming, but they're seeing a lot that's coming. So I want to pick this up today in Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're going to move this forward. I'm going to speak to you what's going to happen, roll out probably the next 10 to 21 years, maybe. Amen. And how, what that will look like. It's going to start probably by the end of this year or within the first month of January. Everything is converging right now. There's a major convergence. He's not doing away with anything, but he is going to add an element to his church that the early church did not have. He's going to add the element of the latter-day reign, the crown. He's going to add the element of another outpouring that's far superior than anything we've ever experienced. So he speaks of this chapter. We talked about this last week, but I'm going to take it from here. Verse 26 and Hebrews 12, he says, whose voice then shook the earth. But now, as he's promised, and he's going to directly quote Haggai, he's quoting that Old Testament prophecy in the New Testament that's yet to be fulfilled. And he said, the voice, but now he's promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but heaven. Now, he's not shaking his own throne because his throne is established in himself. He's shaking the heavens, the second heaven. He's actually talking about when this shaking begins and what causes that shaking to come into the earth is the prophecy of Haggai chapter 2. I'll shake the heavens and the earth. It is the crown that's coming in, prophesied in Zechariah 4, prophesied in Revelation 3, 4, and 5. When this crown begins to move, and 6, when this crown begins to move into the earth, it's going to create a multi-operational shaking. And it's going to shake out many things. In its end, it's going to shake out what I'm going to talk to you about today, the heavens. It's going to shake the second heavens out completely. It's not going to stop. We'll be gone, and it'll continue. It'll just shift in operations. These shakings, when you get with a Pentecostal holiness group, they'll be talking to you about God's going to shake you down, and he will shake you. But these shakings, we are going to be part of the solution. These shakings are predominantly going to be for the world and its systems. For Babylon. Now, in order for us to move into the realm God wants us to move into, we as God's people have to be called out of a system that you're seeing operate its deceitfulness, its lies, its fraud. You're seeing it firsthand operating through media, through Hollywood, through corporate CEOs, through the banking system. You're seeing it operating through the politicians right now. You're seeing the mass fraud trying to overtake our own country. I mean, some of you in the media saying, if I saw this 2 or 3 years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. But you're watching this. All of this is part of a system that's in the air that I'm going to talk to you about today. And what's going to happen to that system. During our dispensation or during our run of the white horse and during our time as the church, which is going to be a glorious time, we want the arrival of the crown because its power will supersede all earthly powers right now. And in that superseding of earthly power, it will begin to shake out an operation of God's judgments in the earth for the last days, all the way down to the end of the tribulation hour. These shakings will continue. They'll change in their dynamic and their operations, but they're going to happen, and you're going to see it happen. All the while these shakings occur, watch what he says. It is very powerful here. He goes, I'll shake the heavens. Not only the earth, but the heavens also, they're going to get shaken. Do you understand that in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, that God's going to empty the entire second heaven? He's going to empty it out. Boom. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you. He will come down and inhabit the Antichrist 3.5 years in tribulation, but all of his principalities will come down into the earth. They'll be thrown out. They're going to be cleared out of the second heaven, getting ready for the millennial reign of Christ. He says, I was shaken, not the earth only, but heaven also. Say heaven also. That's the heavens he's going to shake. Now, during our times, he's going to shake the systems of this world. But while he's doing that, he said, and this word yet once more signify the removing of those things that are shaking as of things that are made. Man-made, demonically made systems of the earth, they're coming down. In the early church, God did not, he invaded darkness for the salvation and the demonstration of the gospel. But he did not move into governments like he's going to move into governments in this last hour. He's going to shake the whole thing down because this is the time the church will rule and reign with Christ in the earth. And he says that things are made that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The kingdom that's coming down cannot be shaking. It's doing the shaking. If you're in the midst of the kingdom, you're in a very good place. Because you will be solidified in what all that God's doing. You will walk in a realm that cannot be shaken. That's why he's been preparing us for so long for this. The glory of the Latter-day House. Well, as I began to see some of this, the Lord sort of took me a little further this week. Because I want you to see a little further. During this time, he's going to shake the heaven. In fact, even in Revelation chapter 3, when he says, I will open the key of the house of David. I will open to you. We know it's a last day church because he said, I'll keep you from the hour of tribulation coming upon the whole earth. That's not us. The church of Philadelphia is us. He says, I'm going to keep you from that hour. It's unfathomable what's been kept in store by Mammon. Mammon's been stealing and sitting and an entity called the Whore of Babylon. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, she sits upon the many waters, which are the peoples of the earth. We're going to look at her a little bit today. But all of this is going to release the church. Listen to this. Must overcome in the arena of prosperity, unprecedented glory, unprecedented wealth, unprecedented blessings. The church must love the Lord in the same measure that it did in the early days under persecutions. You think it would be easier, but it's not, because when it comes to persecution, your flesh wants a way out. It will cleave hard to the Lord. That's why when we go unto it heavy, we'll resist it for a while, but it's going to break us into our knees and we're going to get into the Lord. When you're under a heavy persecution, heavy trial, you're going to the Lord. That's where you retreat. But under pleasure, prosperity, goodness, it's a different system. Your flesh doesn't want out of that. It wants in. And it'll compete for your love with God. But God's going to raise a bride that's going to overcome in this hour. But there is a part that won't. That's why the seventh church, Laodicea, she got in on it. She goes, I'm rich. I'm full. My house is filled with goods. I'm in need of nothing. She got too fat. God wants you. I mean, he really, really wants to pour his everything out on a bride that can handle it. Amen. But this church of Philadelphia is going to handle it. She's going to keep her crown because God's going to give that church a crown. No other church was given a crown in the earth, but that one. I'm going to open the house of David. Amen. They that say they're Jews are not, but serve the synagogue of Satan. They are coming to bow down. They themselves probably won't, but their system's going to bow. He directly gave a prophecy. When you know what he's talking about there, he's talking about opening the house. That's the treasures of all nations coming into his house. That's the wealth transference. The ones holding that back, the Jewish elite. These are the ones that say they're Jews. These are the ones that control everything. They're behind the wars. They're behind the royalties. They're behind all of it. They're the ones that run that little thing called your dollar bill in your pocket. They create that. Now, we're going to see all that. Now, I want to show you from the scripture what you're seeing out here. The news media won't share with you, but this Babylonian operation is an operation right now in the earth. I want you to go, if you will, to Revelation 17. I'm going to show you two crowns, two kings, and two brides. And what the last day is about is the battle of the brides. You got Bridezilla and you got Godzilla. Amen. Bridezilla has come out of hiding. Bridezilla is this woman in Revelation chapter 17. I can't read it all, but it's in 17:8. You can read it later, but I'm going to share with you that it's a global company of people that are serving the interest of this whore that sits upon many waters. And this whore is the devil's bride. And I'm going to prove that to you. God's bride will be Godzilla's zillionaires. Okay, so Revelation 17, let's look at this. She's alive and well now. She doesn't get formed. This is a multi-generational operation that positions itself in governments. It positions itself in media, positions itself in politics, positions itself in banking, entertainment. It's positioned globally. I have had the luxury of having a little bit of education on how royals work because of a client we had. They work a little different. Even when wars happen, they don't mess with the royals. They don't even mess with their wealth. You know, when we invaded Japan, we didn't touch the royals or their wealth. We were good friends. Our elite was good friends with their elite while we were bombing their country. They live in a different realm than we do. They don't consider they live in the same realm. That's why they're preserved. Every single war, the royals are never touched. They're the ones. They're the fiat currency masters. They're the ones that really, they operate in the realm of sovereign wealth. But I'm not going to get too far into that. But they have impact here behind the scenes. Most time you never see them, but now God's drawing the curtain back. And you're seeing some of the lower level operators. He wants me to take you back to Isaiah first. Go to Isaiah. Let's go look at who their king is. Who her king is. Isaiah 13, all through Isaiah, you know, he got caught up in the glory realm and, you know, those beasts, they were saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of glory and all the children of Israel about to go into captivity because they're looking at another realm. So he gets caught up in that realm. So he gets prophesied not only of his day, he prophesied of Christ's day, he prophesies of our day. Babylon's running through all this. But that Babylon he's speaking of is running all the way to the end because we see Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. All these prophecies about Babylon have effect for our day. All right. So Isaiah 14, are you with me? Okay, look at verse 4. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the what? Say king of who? I'm going to prove to you who that is. And say, how have the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. He's talking, he's prophesying the ruin. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked king and the scepter of the rulers, who has smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, and that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. Look at verse 9. He's still talking to the king of Babylon. Follow me, because we're going to look at his queen in a minute. Amen? Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at your coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, O king of Babylon. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say to thee, art thou also become weak as we are? And has become like us. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. And the noise of thy vows. The worm is spread under thee. And the worms cover thee. Watch this. Who's he talking about? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, you Babylonian king. Wow. Art thou that's cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the heaven. Remember when he met the Lord out there and he says, I'll give you all the kingdoms and the glory of them. He had them all then. The Lord didn't even resist him at that time. Except he wouldn't worship him. He said, bow and I'll give you all this. But the Lord didn't even, he didn't defend that at that time. But the Lord King Jesus is coming back and he's going to put down the nations. I'll shake all nations, treasures of all nations will come to my house. He goes, tell them again in Zechariah 4, in Haggai 2. He said, tell them again, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will shake the sea and I will shake the royal thrones and all that are in them. I'm bringing it all down in the last days. There was a lot of remain during that time, but it will not remain in this time. When the shakings begin, they'll never stop. He's prophesying even the ruin of Satan himself, Lucifer, his end as the king of Babylon and his queen will all come down. He says, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit, and they shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners. This is the guy. Called him the king of Babylon. He sitteth king right now, and his queen is in full operation in the earth. You're seeing her in the elections. You're seeing the way she operates. Let's look a little bit with her. Let's go back over to Revelations now. Let's look at 17. Let's look a little bit about her, because this is actually the ruin. Let me set this up a little bit. But God led us into the book of Revelation through a little bit different system. He led us in by way of his witness system. He says, I want to show you my witness for the last days. He goes, there's wrath coming, there's judgment coming, but I want to show you my witness. And that's how we started that. You should see his witness system. We're part of it. We're the first of his witness system in the earth. Amen? When we get taken up out of here, which some people feel we're not going to be taken out, but we are going to be taken out, because it's going to go to the two witnesses. Now, I happen to believe now that those two witnesses, I used to believe it was just the spirit of Moses, spirit of Elijah, because their mantles were described in Revelation chapter 11. I actually thought that it was the spirit, like John the Baptist said, this is the spirit of Elijah's, until he opened the Mount of Transfiguration up to us. And we got the revelation of the Mount of Transfiguration. That changed everything, because when Peter got caught up in the glory, he writes a book about his encounter in the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's talking about the second coming of Christ. He said, we made known to you the second coming of Christ. We are sure witnesses of his prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy because we were eyewitnesses of his majestic glory. But he was talking about the second coming. How can he talk about the second coming when he's up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Because the glory shifted them. They all got caught up and they got set down into the realm that's right in front of us. Who is there? Moses and Elijah. What are their mantles? The ones specifically described in Revelation chapter 11. What did they do? Confronted global powers. What are they going to do? Confront global powers. It's part of God's judgment system. Now, I won't go any further than that. We have a lot of teaching on that, but not today. When he shifts that midway through, it's most incredible, they die. And the Antichrist, he orders them to lay on the street for 3.5 days. They're over the people who are congratulating themselves, popping champagne. Finally got rid of the people that were hindering our plans. They want this global thing. They want their ruler. They want it in. And God's going to frustrate it and frustrate it and frustrate it and frustrate it. It said all the people of the earth watched them. There's never a day you could do that without a cell phone. Going to watch God raise those two from the dead and ascend into heaven. They're going to be caught up into the heavens. Glory to God. Who do you think is going to prepare the 144,000 witnesses? They're not just going to pop in. They're going to prepare them. They're going to call them out and prepare them. But then the Lord stands. This is important for where we're going. The Lord stands on Mount Zion. Now, this is the time when the saints, that the enemy's given authority over the saints, but he does not have authority over the operation of the power of the crown that will continue to destruction all the way to the end. That crown will still be moving in the earth. This time it's going to take the whole system down. The Babylonian system, which we're going to look at in a minute. Now, when the Lord stands on Mount Zion with 144,000, these big angels come out and they're surrounding them. And one of them has the everlasting gospel to preach. So people say the angels are going to preach the gospel. No, that's not what happened. One of them comes out and says, preach the everlasting gospel. And the other one comes out and says, Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. The third one comes out and says, take not the mark of the beast, which would be instituted there at the halfway mark. When they do that, you have to understand what's happening. They're having a global commissioning service. The Lord's standing in an eyewitness state with them, and he's commissioning his final 144,000 witnesses to go out into the earth. And the angels are flying around giving them their message. One of them saying, you're going to preach the everlasting gospel. The other one says, you're going to decree the final fall of Babylon, because in our day, it's going to bow. And that day, God's going to destroy it. But it's going to keep going. That's what I'm saying. These are consecutive judgments that are going to take place. And the third one says, take not the mark of the beast. So they decree the fall of Babylon, because even though the devil is given authority and power over the saints during that time, it's very clear. It says he was given authority and power over the saints. In our day, he's not, because he said the kings and priests will reign in the earth in chapter 5 of Revelation. In chapter 12 is when he gets the authority and power to reign over them. That's a different operation now. It's a different season. We're not in the tribulation at that point. They are. We're going to reign first. Amen. So they decree the fall of Babylon. So this crown, this glory, this thing that's going to start this shaking, this kingdom, you call it the kingdom. The kingdom is the crown. The crown's the kingdom. When this comes in, it's not going to stop shaking. It'll shake past our day. It'll keep shaking. Even though the people who rejected the witness of the church in this last hour have to go through the tribulation, there's untold millions upon millions that'll get saved during that time. But they'll have to give their life, because they didn't give it at a time they could have given it. If they would have surrendered it, they'll have to give their life to stay in the earth. They'll have to give their life up for their witness of the Lord. It'll be demanded of them. Bow down, serve the image of the beast, or die. But even though the Antichrist has that kind of authority, because that's wrath now, that's different kind of judgment going on. Remember I told you last week, and I just think he's going to judge the systems. The next one, he's judging the peoples of the earth. And you're going to see this judgment here in a minute. Because I'm telling you, it's going through. And you need to see when all this happens, none of this is going to stop. But the good thing is, we're on the right side of it. We're in the kingdom that can't be moved. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. And that kingdom is going to set the order for the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to go all the way through there. Amen? So let's look at just a minute. This bride, that we're the bridal company that's going to close out the nations. We're going to close out the dispensation, us, the bridal company, right? With Christ our King. The enemy, all he does is counterfeit. That's why the Lord's going to overturn his counterfeit financial machine and put it back on the silver and the gold. You're not going to walk around and barter in silver and gold. They're going to have a currency coming out from the silver and gold. It's already in the works. Some of you are already positioned in it. That's one of the great primary ways he's going to transfer the wealth. It's already ready to go. Trump will be very key to that. This woman right here is the one you got to watch. Go to Revelation 17. Then there came one of the seven angels that had seven vials and talked to me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show you unto the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. Verse 15, and he said unto me, the waters which you sawest, where the whore sitteth, are the peoples, the multitude, nations, and tongues. So she sits over people, multitude, nations, and tongues. She sits over them. But their rulers also in the system, with whom the kings of the earth, look at verse 2, have committed fornication with her. That's the financial fornication. They commit it through idolatry. They commit it through sacrifice and all manner of stuff you don't even want to hear about in the Sunday morning service. They serve her. She gives the wealth. They give their life for lying, for fraud, for deceit, for sin, for uncleanness. That's why they can just lie to you so easily, because that's what they do now. They've been doing it so long, they don't feel anything. They feel it's their right to rule over you. From the kings of the earth have committed fornication, Revelation 17:2, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They're drunk on the idolatry that she gives, because she gives that stuff freely. Mammon is on top of all of it. The political spirit is not the most powerful. It serves Mammon. She's the bride of Mammon. She is Mammon. And she is the bride of Satan. He has his bride in the earth. God has his bride in the earth. She's all part of his bridal system. He's the king of Babylon. She sitteth queen. But God said, I'm bringing her down now. He didn't do this. This is a multi-generational system. 100 years and hundreds of years of family passing down inheritances, passing down the right and rule to rule over the financial machines of the earth. God let it all go, whispered at it, winked at it, but not now. He's about to move into this. And when these shakings begin, they won't stop. He's going to make it bow, and he's going to turn us back into a silver and gold standard while he releases the glory of the nations. But after that, they'll come right back into power. When we're lifted, they're going to come right back into power. It's the only way, because while we're here, they're not going to be in power. That's why God is going to resurrect this whole election system. Because if it didn't, they would all move to a one world system like that. They want it, and they want it fast. They've been working this stuff a long, long, long time. We've been very dumb. We're supposed to have wisdom, but we only got the latter half of it. Dumb. Look at verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. See, there's a difference between the blessing of God and what she's doing. This comes through thievery, robbery, killing, wars. She creates wars. War is the biggest business of all. War is a huge business. They love chaos. Your dollar bill says it, order out of chaos. They don't put order out of chaos, control out of chaos. They want control. God's the one bringing the order in. While this is all happening, God is setting an order up. I'm just trying to show you what she looks like, what's out there beyond the media, give you eyes to see what's happening, what's at war with our nation. You have a war between two brides. There's a crown. There's a king that serves this system already. He doesn't even get out of his basement. He's already been crowned with this system. And he wants to be set over America, because America's the prize. America's the big prize. Been trying to get America forever. It's the big prize. And upon her forehead, verse 5, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs, and I saw her, I wondered with great admission, drunk with the blood of the saints. She'd been profiting off blood for a long time. That's where she sits. Yes, the wickedness. Verse 14. It'll give you, you need to see what's happening in the earth. It's not business as usual anymore. It's not. There is a war in the heavenlies right now, but God's going to win this. Because God's got something nobody counted on. He's got a crown coming out. It's been up in that room there. It's full of glory. It's in the form of words right now, but it's about forging into an operation that God's going to put on his church in the last days. Not only are you going to wear it, it's going to start the shakings out there while the kingdom of God moves into the earth. Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, her system, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw was the whore that set upon the nations. She's global. Many people serve him, but they have a common goal because they serve the king of Babylon. Go to chapter 18 for a minute. And after these things, I saw, verse 1, another angel come down from heaven having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils. And behold, every foul spirit in the cage of every unclean and hateful bird lives in her. You see the hatefulness coming out of her. You see him marching in the streets for racial equality. It has nothing to do with racial equality. It has everything to do with anarchy. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. They're alive and well in power in high places. Verse 7. How much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? So much torrent and sorrow give her. Whew. They're going to get a cup full. She saith in her heart, I sit a queen and I am no widow. Who do you think her husband is? King of Babylon, Lucifer. He's also the king of Tyre. Whenever he calls himself king, it has to do with ruling over the global wealth. Babylonian system, king of Tyre. Why would they call himself the king of a city they spread fish nets upon? He calls himself the king of Tyre because during Solomon's day, when Solomon's kingdom was raided, over 400 years of plundering, all the wealth of those plunderings ended up in Tyre. Aha! Ezekiel 26, the gates of Jerusalem have been broken and now I'm being replenished and I sit now and the merchandising of the, she is a mart of nation, the merchandise of the mart of the nations. And by the time Ezekiel 28 comes around, it's no less than the devil himself. Lucifer, son of the morning, described as the king of Tyre. All the wealth of Solomon after his fall and his operation was all moved to Tyre. It became the merchandising mart of the nations. He sat as king over it. The same way he sits as king of Babylon. He's sitting under a counterfeit operation, none of it of the which was his. All right? Now I want you to hold that thought. Let me finish Revelation and I'm going to go back to that thought. Amen? Well, let me take it a little further. So Nebuchadnezzar, when he comes and invades Jerusalem, he destroys the temple, brings all the remaining wealth, sets it under Babylon, but he also goes to Tyre and takes Tyre down. God anoints him to take Tyre down. He takes all the wealth of Tyre and sets it under Babylon. Now the king had to shift his position. He had to go stand over Babylon now because all the wealth moved. See, now he sits as king of Babylon. See that? Now, all that wealth was set underneath Babylon. Israel's wealth, while they're in captivity, was sitting underneath them. And all of Tyre's wealth, which was Solomon's, was sitting underneath them while they're in captivity for 70 years. Which means that what God's about to release that's due us was due for about 100 generations. But God's going to give it all to us to finance his last day harvest. Amen? And to rule and reign for a season anyway. Isn't that awesome? While that was sitting there, I'll finish with that. Let's finish with this. Verse 8. I'll come back to that. She said, I sit as a queen. I have a husband. They know who he is. Most of them know who they serve. By the time they get to the level with her, with that, the stuff they do, the stuff they've done in our nation to children, they can't even tell you unless you're in special forces what's happening to children and the blood sacrifice to harvest their drug. Adrenochrome. You can't even imagine what they do. They put it out in news. They put it out on nightly comedy. Because they think we're stupid. They're awful what they do. God's going to pull the veil back. You have to understand when he's judging a wickedness beyond wickedness. Just understand God's judging that system. And it's time it's come up into his nostril. This is what the crown is about. It has multi operations. It'll go into multi dimensions and multi dispensations. It won't leave the earth when we leave the earth. It will remain. The Lord's going to come down and stand on Mount Zion, the Mount of Olives, crown, King of Kings. That crown is legally coming back down into the earth. He legally took it up into the heavens. God reassigned it, throne of David. He said, unto us, a child has been born, unto us a son has been given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. The increase of this government and peace, there is no end upon, say upon, the throne of David to establish it. With justice and judgment forever. He sits on that throne now. Never sat on it in his early thing. It's there in Mount Zion now. Took it up into the glory, perfected it. Now he's about to come and crown his church with it. He's going to legally bring the whole thing back down. That's what the kingdom Hebrews talking about. In Daniel 7, the saints will possess the kingdom in the last days. He's bringing the glory of that kingdom. He had to open a door to it, and he did it for the church of Philadelphia. He opened a door. How's this for Sunday morning? Y'all like this? He opened the door to the house of David. What do you think he's opening? The whole thing. In the right hand of God, because he's bringing the whole thing down. So you can read about her destruction as the bride. She's going down. She's only going to bow during our dispensation, but she's coming down at the end. He's going to burn her down to the ground. And I mean, he's tough about it too. Right? Now, let's go back just for a minute. I'll close this out. That's why God has this thing called demonstration. Until he takes this out of the earth, it'll come and demonstrate. Amen? Then he'll open this thing up into the earth. But we're riding the time now. Praise God. All right, go to Isaiah 45. And we'll close. Let's take this back into our day now. It's awesome. We're part of this kingdom thing God's bringing in. It's not going to be church. It's going to be kingdom. Everything's going to shift powerfully. Get ready. Because we're in direct touchdown now. I mean, we're in the day of the suddenly right now. The hour of the suddenly right now. What does suddenly mean? Watch and pray for the suddenly. It could happen by the time we close this service. It could happen by the time this year is closed out. God's not going to tell us the exact time. But we're in season. Amen? Now, let's look at this real quick. Isaiah 45 again. And then we're going to come out from the system. Just like the children of Israel came out. See, we're not going into captivity. We're coming out. We've got to come out of her system. Come out of her, my people. It says come out to serve God in a new system that he's bringing into the earth right now. right now. It's all happening right now. I can't make that any more clear. Isaiah 45 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, is anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations. I will loose the loins of kings. I will open before you the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Those gates are not going to shut upon you. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. God said, I am going to straighten this stuff out. Amen. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and the bars of iron. Watch this. What did I say earlier? Solomon's wealth. Where'd he go? Who got tired? Where'd he put it? All their wealth too, the wealth of their nation. We know because Cyrus gave them huge grant to go build their temple. Gave them all their wealth back. The whole time they were serving in captivity, they were walking on top of their wealth. Now it was time to give it back to them. Where was it? Right underneath them. Where's ours? Right in here. Hidden away in heavenly places now. Still there. Ready to bring it out now. This time the enemy can't touch it. I'll go before they make the crooked place straight. Verse 3. This has to happen. And this is part of the shaking and the treasures of all nations coming to my house. He opens the house of David. He's going to open the wealth again. Where is Babylonian systems going to give up her harvest too? I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret place. I'll give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in the vaulted wealth. That means vaulted wealth. That thou mayest know I, the Lord, have called thee by name, the God of Israel. I'm going to do this. And he says, you won't know me, but he knows him now. There is going to be an anointing that's going to shift the power structure. It's going to break across the board. There's going to be judgment across the board. God is about to show up right in the middle of all this. And there's going to be mass judgment of people who've been hiding in that Babylonian harlot under a nice title. God's uncovered all. Light's breaking forth as the morning now. Verse 9, Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none else. He kind of knows he's God. Declaring, watch this, the end from the beginning. I'm going to declare not only the end now, I'm going to declare the end of the ages that are going to close out. From the beginning. From the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. And then he references Cyrus again, right here, calling a ravenous bird from the east. The man that will execute my counsel from a far country. He's bringing down this system. He's going to be very instrumental in unlocking that system and calling you out of it. Yeah, I've spoken it. He will execute my counsel and I'll bring it to pass. I purpose it. I'll do it. We must come out from Babylonian captivity, not go in it. That's what the battle is. The battle is for that harlot to encompass the world right now. She's been wanting to do it for a long time. She wants all the nations. She wants to drink the blood of the nations. She wants it. But God says, no. Not right now. You're going to get 3.5 years because the two witnesses are going to resist her for the first 3.5 years. They'll get 3.5 years. You won't want to be in the earth when that happens. But they ain't getting it right now. God's going to stop the plans. This country's not going to be given up to that harlot. And this crown, understand what it is. David wore it. He received the inheritance of Abraham. Isaac, Jacob were buried in Mount Hebron. Caleb inherited Mount Hebron. David was crowned in Mount Hebron. He brought that crown into Jerusalem. Solomon's glories in that crown. All of Abraham's inheritance in that crown. That's all there. David put down all rebellion in his day. Solomon, by the time he got it, there's neither evil occurrence or adversary anywhere in my kingdom. The Solomon age is coming for the church. That crown is going to do it again. It'll do what it does best. Puts down rule and authority. It's going to put that harlot down. She's going to bow first. Then she's going to come all the way down. It was the generation that the writer of Hebrews was trying to get to. It says, let's go into the perfection of the king, priest, governed after the order of Melchizedek. He was looking into it. He wanted to go in. Paul, I believe, wrote it, and he was trying to go in. He's trying to take everybody in there. He says, let's leave the foundation. Let's go. I see another day. There's another glory coming. Let's go. And Haggai, Zechariah 6, something happens so amazing. He takes Joshua, the high priest, he puts him on a king's throne. They bring wealth out of Babylon, gold and silver, and they forge a crown. And they put crowns, and they put those crowns on Joshua, the high priest. And he says, now I'll bring forth my servant, the branch, and the council of harmony between the two offices. I'm going to bring him out now. When I crown my priesthood, I'm going to have kings and priests operating together. That is exactly what's going to happen with the Church of Philadelphia. The crown is coming out. It's a church that's about to be made kings. Right now. At a time it's needed the most. At a divine time where nations, where the harlot's making her play, God's about to move a chess piece in the earth. He's going to move his kings out now. He's bringing his kings out of hiding. It's so intensely powerful. It's going to come out with worship. It's going to come out with glory. It's going to come out with wealth. It's going to come out with wisdom. It's going to come out with light. It's going to come out with things that God's going to take us ordinary people and he's going to make us very extraordinary. And he's going to make a whole generation and crown them with it. And we're in this hour now. And it won't stop. Thank you, Father, for this incredible body that we could preach things like this, to understand them. I just accept it all by grace. I thank you. We've been tried together. We've kept the word of your patience. You're going to do something so extraordinary, Father, with all of us. It's all coming fast.